I was reading a lot about it like a couple of years ago. You have to cut this out because I can't remember.
I will.
Welcome to the Slowbrow Show.
Welcome to the second episode of the Slowbrow Show. Linnea Strid and her art is a shimmering stone made a pearl necklace, reflecting the white and black pearls, making everything make sense in the best poetic way. That's how I describe you and your work. Dear Linnea Strid, welcome to my podcast.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
In English, we normally speak Swedish, obviously, because we're both Swedes. But we're going to do this in English for our listeners who are spread across the globe. So, very welcome. I know that you will actually be in California in a short time. April 14, you have a solo show over at Distinction Gallery.
Yes, I do. The opening is on April 14th, and that's my birthday. So, yeah, so I expect everyone to come.
Go celebrate her and buy some art. That's the best gift, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Is it your first time? Have you had any of your work exhibited there previously?
At that gallery, yes, once before in a group show in November, I think, or something last year, and then I have shown a couple of times in San Diego at another gallery called La Bodega. So, yeah. So it's I like San Diego. I have a lot of friends there, and it's a nice place.
So is that close to San Diego, or is it the same place? Because Distinction Gallery is in Escondido, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm very bad with things with geography. I always have been, but yeah, it's I think it's kind of close, but you know, you have to go by car because it's in. Mm-hmm. It's in California, so.
Well, so all you Californians, go to Escondido April 14th to Distinction Gallery and watch Linnea Strid in person and her art in person.
Watch me embarrass myself in person. It's very fun.
You're a really wonderful person. I actually saw a really nice quote about your art on... let's see here. Wide Walls is like a collector's place for where you can find artists and buy their art. And they did a really nice write-up about what they saw in your art. And I thought I'm gonna quote Wide Walls here and read to you and we can see what you think about this description. Maybe you read it a long time ago, but anyway. Regardless of any particular genre or influence, Strid explores the darker side of the human psyche conveyed through the water. The insight into the most private moments and personal stories expressed through painting reflects the issues of mortality, fear of living and dying, anxiety and loneliness. Depending on the subject, the artist employs the certain amount of underlying irony and unpredictable feelings in order to empower the whole composition. I thought that was a pretty nice description.
Yeah, that's more accurate than I would have been able to describe it, I think.
Sometimes it's easier to have someone from the outside. But you're so good at this. How I really, you know, was drawn to your work. And actually the first artwork that I really, really connected to, that wasn't a person in it. It was that pack of cigarettes floating in the
Oh,
do you remember?
Yeah, that one is called The Marlboro Man is Dead.
Yes, and it really, I really like the mood in that one. And you're so good at depicting something. It's so realistic, yet you can really put so much emotion into it. So it's not just like watching a photograph, you know, because there's so many realist painters that paint, and it's hard to tell if it's like just a snap with a cell phone or it's a piece of art. But I think, what really makes me love your way of painting realistically is because there's so much emotion and you put some magic in it. It's hard to describe.
Thank you so much. I don't know. I think it's really important for me to have a good subject to paint. It's not just all about painting a picture so that it looks like a photograph, because I don't know, there has to be a meaning behind it, you know.
The meaning with your with the images in your solo show, do you want to talk about that?
Well, it's called The Resurrection, and so you can kind of imagine what it's about. It's about rebirth, and it's a very personal story from my life. It's kind of a long story, but I try to keep it short. But because I had a kid almost 5 years ago, and there was kind of a bad breakup there, and we went to court, and it was a long, horrible story. And the things ended in the way that my son isn't living with me anymore. So I can only see him on, every other weekend and some breaks here and there. So that was, I left feeling very unfairly treated in that situation. And just generally crushed, you know.
Yeah, we were talking a lot during that time. And I remember it was not a fair deal.
No. It wasn't. I'm not going to go into detail because, yeah.
No, but you're so damn strong, woman, you know.
I don't know about that. I have definitely not felt very strong during that time. I've been at my absolute lowest point in life, you know, when I didn't think I would possibly sink any lower. I did, you know. It was a horrible time. So anyway.
You kept on painting, though.
Yeah, that was kind of the only thing that worked for me as therapy, you know, because I tried to go to a therapist for a bit and talk about it, but I didn't feel that it helped. And I don't know, my main things that I decided to do to, just find some kind of joy in life was to paint all the time. So I painted like almost 16 hours a day. 7 days a week, and then I would just save up my money and I would go traveling.
Yeah, you know, it's a very vibrant way of doing therapy, traveling and painting and, you know, being able to do something.
Yeah, but it's been pretty rough to say the least. And for a long time I was like triggered to by just seeing a small kid, you know, out in public. I would almost get a panic attack, you know, because it would remind me of my son. So, but it's starting to actually get better now. So, yeah, my show is kind of about that, about the trauma that I've been through, and I guess that. Most of us go through some sort of trauma in our life. They're different, but we go through some pretty difficult things, and we have our ways of getting out of it. You know, I feel that in a way, to go through a trauma and to survive it, you have to die in a way. Like you, the old Linnea that I was before this happened is not here anymore. I'm someone else now, you know?
We'll soon be back. In the meantime, I have a question for you. Is there something you want to know,
There is this app I'm using to upload my podcast. It's called Anchor and it's for free. And in this, you can actually leave a message, like a little voicemail. So you can download the app and then you can find the Slow Brow Show and you can just call in and I can record your message if you want to. And I'll try to do my best to answer your questions or find the person you want me to interview. So we could try that. Also, if you just want to call in as an artist, struggling artist, and you want to promote yourself, feel free to use the free Anchor app and leave a message. And I'll use this little pause space in between to push you and your work, because that's what I'm here for. Okay, let the show begin.
So my art has a deeper meaning always because of that, but I also feel a lot stronger in a lot of ways. I don't know. I know I can deal with a lot of things that I didn't think I could before, you know?
Yeah. Because you think that if you break, you're forever broken, but that doesn't, like, the body doesn't work like that. You break and you think you're going to die and then you don't. And you're like, okay, so I'll just move my limbs forward in a sense, you know, and you're still alive. And that makes you stronger because you realize that it didn't kill you, actually. You're still here.
Exactly. And it's an interesting journey. I don't know. It's difficult, but that's part of life, you know?
Was that also when you did the Drowning Artist series?
The Drowning Artist series I started doing way back. That was like 2009. And it was, to be honest, I had no idea what suffering was about back then. I had no idea.
Well, I do think that you've always had a good perception of things, you know, that you have. You seem very, very intelligent and very empathic, so I'm not surprised that you could sense the darkness, even though, but now you maybe was the first time you had a floodgate opening and just washing over you, and you know.
Yeah, because I don't know, because I was always more into art in other people's art that was kind of, that had sort of a darkness to it. I always was drawn to that, but I didn't actually have that in me. But I wanted to portray that in some way, because I didn't have that suffering, but I wanted to, like, that was just art that I was kind of into, you know, like some kind of thing in the artwork that makes you like, ooh, that makes me kind of uncomfortable, you know, what's going on here, you know? But yeah, now I feel that I actually have a good source for it myself, you know?
Yeah. And also I think your recent work, You are so skilled. Like, I'm always amazed watching your work in progress. And it's...
Oh, my God, no. I don't know about that.
You know, you had a lot of painting hours done during these last few years. So, I mean, you've always been great. But, I mean, now you're just blowing me away every new update. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm Swedish, so I can't really handle a compliment like that. So I'm just going to, like, shrug it off, like, yeah.
You know what? I have a secret tip for you there. Just say thank you if you're not sure what to say. Just
okay, thank you, I guess.
Well, I wish I could go to Distinction Gallery and see your soul.
Me too. Oh, well, yeah, we need to make it happen. I mean, you have kids at home and you're starting up your career again. So it's, I love your work that you're producing now. So
yeah, you caught that. Thank you. Right? It sounds like you're accepting that, but yeah, it's really hard. I mean, I think we both suffer from that imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. Like,
Yeah, and to anyone who hasn't watched your work yet and who's listening for the first time, Google Linnea Street and watch this person telling you that she's not an artist or a painter. Because, you know, you will be blown away. There's not, we're all sure that you are, but I totally know the feelings that you carry inside.
I mean, I think it's probably better to have that kind of attitude and like doubt yourself a bit and not be too sure about what you're doing. Like, I don't know, it's not good to have that ego too blown up too big, you know. Then
That's true. I mean, you need to be aware of your privilege and everything like that. But I also think that because we want to build a better world for the kids today and empower women and empower the men as well to, you know, be able to be who they want to be and have feelings and all that. I think that a part of that is also owning the good stuff.
Yeah.
So that could be hard. Like, you want to be humble, but you also want to be powerful, right?
Exactly. It's a weird balance, but yeah.
But you're actually making a living as an artist now, and I think that is mind-blowing. Do you want to talk a little bit about your journey from, you know, starting up as an artist? And do you have a memory you want to talk about when you felt like, oh my God, this is actually happening?
Well, they both went fast and slow, I guess, but I started showing in galleries when I was 16, so that's fairly young, I guess. But I always knew that I wanted to be an artist, and it was always like, yeah, of course I'm going to be an artist. Like, why wouldn't I? I mean, this is what I love to do, so I'm going to make it happen, you know? But obviously I didn't know how difficult it would be to actually make a living, you know?
It's a surprise because you're invited to big galleries, but then actually making a living and selling that amount of art required to pay the bills and everything, you know, that's...
Yeah, that can be pretty overwhelming. And I'm not... I don't know. It's difficult to tell someone like, yeah, this is the way you should do it, you know, to be successful, because there is no right way or anything.
Yeah, you must be asked a lot, I'm thinking, because you have such a big following as well. So I'm thinking you're probably flooded with questions. How do I become an artist?
Well, people ask me sometimes, and I can only tell my story and how things have worked for me, you know. I can't, everyone is different, everyone's journey is different, so everyone's artwork is different. and I started out, I don't know, I decided in 2009 that I was going to be an artist full time. I thought I had some money on my bank account, so I just thought that, yeah, I have money for a year more or less to be okay. If I don't sell one painting, I will still be able to like do this for a year, and then I will eventually have to get a normal job. So that's what I started out with, and I just started like jumping on every opportunity that I got. Like, I was showing everywhere that I could, you know. And after a year had gone by, I was like, yeah, this actually worked out. I didn't make a lot of money, but I was more or less where I started out 1 year before, you know. That's kind of how it always has been since then, you know. I don't, I always start out a year thinking like, if I can make it for another year, I'm happy, you know. Just be more or less at the, where I am right now, you know, with money. And more or less, you know, I have my ups and downs and my crisis. At least once a year, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? I can't pay my bills. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I need to start teaching. What, you know, like, what am I supposed to do now? But then things have always worked out so far.
And I mean, big kudos to you, because not only did you find your recipe to survive as an artist and make a living out of it, you did it in the middle of the biggest crisis so far in your life and managed to stay afloat, because no one would have blamed you if you were just, you know, laying down in fetus position for a year, not picking up the paintbrush. So I think that shows how much determination and also, I think, a natural need to paint.
Yeah, it's definitely a need more than a hobby or anything like that. I would say it's more like an addiction.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense on how people move on despite not being able to make a living. Most people would would stop eventually. But if there's that need, I think that propels everything. But I think so in your recipe, I would add that you have your
authenticity.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it. Because when people ask you a recipe for becoming an artist, it's hard because you have your stories and the things you want to tell. And because it's authentic, we can see that in your art and it will appeal to us. So it's really hard to do this sort of by the book. You can do everything right, but it won't be right anyway until you find that, you know, special little ingredients. And that's part of the struggling, I think.
Yeah, it sure is. And I mean, just, I don't know, I think finding your voice and knowing exactly what you want to express is like the most difficult part of it somehow. I don't know, it can be very confusing, like knowing what you want to like say with your work. It's, I don't know, that was a long journey for me to actually find out what I wanted to.
But you didn't just go for one theme, like although you love to portray water in your images, you also have this lovely, you have one piece that it's my favorite piece, I think, well, one of many, but when you're in a unicorn suit sitting in an old armchair in the middle of the dark Swedish forest and there's some snow left on the ground, and it's, you know, you can still tell that it's your artwork, although it's not you in the water, you know, up close. So you really found something.
Oh, thank you.
And I love seeing you experiment with different scenes and sceneries and emotions. So, and there's that dark humor, you know. I was calling you the other day, you're like Ingmar Bergman, you know, the famous filmmaker. You're like him, like dressed with a little unicorn horn on your head. Like you have the same, you have the depth, you have the intelligence, you have everything, but you also have that sense of humor.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I don't know. I have an attitude towards life that don't take it too seriously, you know. And I think you should be able to laugh about everything. And I laugh at myself quite a lot, you know. I think I'm ridiculous most of the time.
That's not silly. That's clever, you know. Life is short. We're all dead soon, you know. This is a very uplifting podcast I was telling you about.
Yeah, right. It started off good with your podcast.
No, but seriously, I think that it's a clever way of appreciating life in the moment, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I don't know. I think the unicorn thing is just, I don't know, it's just a symbol of the world we're living right now, with the cutie kitsch, but also and the memes and the internet and everything, but also like how we sort of want to hide in that unicorn costume and be someone else that we're not, maybe. And I don't know, I find that there are a lot of depths to that, and the symbolism of a unicorn, you know, what that stands for, you know.
Did you know that Linnea, the name, is a flower known as Linnea borealis, which means the northern Linnea? That's you in a nutshell. And if you mash it up and drink it along with milk, it actually prevents gout. Well, that's what they used it for in the old days anyway. I wouldn't maybe recommend mashing up Linnea borealis.
Oh, I will try it this summer. If summer ever comes here, I will try that.
Maybe want to Google it one more extra time, but I you know, I have all these herb books, old herb books. So So that's what they used in the olden days.
Wow, I had no idea. That's interesting. Okay, I just thought it was a cute little flower, you know, pink and cute.
Name suits you so well. A healing flower, strong, And, you know, it grows like a big bush, you know. It's very strong as a plant. It's not just, you know, the little tiny flower with the petals. They grow like a shrubbery, you know. Yeah. So is there anything else you want to add or talk about? Or do you have an art tip? Maybe we can get a special art tip, you know, because you're so skilled. Do you have something you like, oh, when I learned this, that that was a game changer for me?
Well, I didn't go to an actual art college or anything fancy like that, so I didn't get any formal training. I went to a Gävle konstskola. It's like a it's not a high form of art education. It's very basic, you know. It's to prepare you for the art college kind of thing. So yeah, you know, folkhögskola in Swedish. But I was mostly slacking out when I went there, so I didn't learn so much, unfortunately. It's not a model that fits everyone. It goes out, you know. But anyway, yeah, art tip. Do you mean like how I make my paintings or something like that? Well, I work in oils, and something that I learned was good for me. And the technique that I use is that I do my underpaintings in acrylics because they dry fast. So I don't have to, because I hate waiting. I'm very impatient as a person, so I like things to go fast, which is kind of contradictory when it comes to me working with oils, but I just love the way it blends and all that.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Oh, thank you. You're saying so many sweet things, and I don't have time to say thank you. Thank you so much.
And this is actually, this podcast is all about you. And I think the people listening, they are dying to hear your voice. So I'm going to shut up a little bit more and keep explaining.
No. No, no, no. Don't make me talk about myself. That's worse.
But working with acrylics first, that's actually a really good tip, because there's a lot of people who, for different reasons, and maybe like even ventilation problems, that maybe you can do the first coat in acrylics and then you go outside or to whatever space you have and do the, finish it off with oils.
Yeah, exactly. I just never got a hang of acrylics, and I couldn't work with the fine layers there and make it look good and the details and all that. I need oils for that, you know. So that's kind of how I work. And I work with dry brush. I don't usually use a lot of thinners or mediums. I just use very thin layers of oil paint on top of that with, just dry brushing it. That's kind of how I work.
I was almost expecting you to say that I use a small needle and I put my eyelash on it, just one eyelash, because the amount of detail you put in is crazy.
Well, I wish I could loosen up a bit. I know a lot of artists say that because I don't know, it's hard, man. It's hard to loosen up.
Yeah. But I think that when you're in the mood of loosening up, you will. But until then, why loose up? Because this is working brilliantly for you. So,
maybe one day I will have the courage and the skills to loosen up. Because I also feel that I haven't perfected my detailing skills yet. So. Maybe when I feel that I know how to do that well enough, I can start loosening up more, you know?
Well, you're still in your 30s, so you have plenty of time, and we all look forward following your art career and wish you all the best, and thank you for recording this podcast with me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's always so much fun to talk to you.
Thank you for joining me today, and I'm wishing you a lovely day. And for all the listeners, go watch Linnea's solo show on April 14 at the Distinction Gallery.
Thank you for listening to us.